All right. So this morning we're going to be finishing up the 10th Iker, at least for the purposes of this class, finishing it up. And this morning's discussion is really going to be largely related to our discussion from last week, somewhat finishing the picture of what we discussed last week. Last week we were discussing the idea of Hashgacha according to the Rambam. We discussed the nature of Hashgacha according to the Rambam being a form of response to the actions which are done by free will, which basically means, let's say, how Hashem deals with our actions based on the fact that we are able to decide what we do and based on how we make ourselves closer or further from Him. So that's the basic format of what Hashgacha is. Hashgacha is dealing with a person in terms of how close he has made himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just to finish that off today, so on the first page I double underlined a couple of words just to emphasize in the text of the 10th Iker. The Rambam writes, the Yosoda is here, the 10th Iker is Shehu Yisal Yodea Ma'aseh B'nei Adam. That Hashem knows the actions of man. So the Rambam here emphasizes that I emphasize even more by double underlining it, that this yesod of yediyah, this idea of Hashem's knowledge, is knowledge of the actions of man. So I want to just dwell a little bit on that point, that this idea of Hashem's yediyah, which the Rambam is discussing here, is something which is unique to man, that this yediyah of Hashem is something which only applies to man. So if we turn the page, so the first couple pages of what we're going to go through, we really saw some of these things are overlapping from what we saw last week, but the topics are very interconnected. But also this next point, we're going to see very quickly how the Rambam describes Aristotle's view of Hashgacha, only because the Rambam is going to refer back to it later, so just wanted to very quickly, I think we summed it up last week also, but just one particular detail of it that wanted to highlight. But the Rambam, after he says that the concepts of Hashem's yediyah, Hashem's knowledge, and Hashem's Hashgacha, Hashem's providence, his involvement in the world, they're very interrelated, so he says he's going to discuss different views of Hashgacha, and then he gets to his own view. But the Rambam writes that he presents five views, and the second of these views, he says, is the Hashgacha of Aristotle. It says, "He Hashgachas Misha Sover, Ki Miktsas Advar Mishbem Hashgacha." Some things have Hashgacha. Vehem Bahanhagas Manhig Varichas Orech. They are under the direction of a director, and they're laid out in a system. Umiktsasim Muznach Lemikrim. And some of them are left up to happenstance or circumstance. Vizu hi hashkafas Aristo, and that's the hashkafa, that is the view of Aristotle. So he sums up for, we'll skip the little part in the middle there, but later at the bottom of the column there, vagam lo huznach ishe kol min aznacha muklates. He says that all of the individual creations, there, you know, Hashem isn't directly, you know, paying attention to what happens to them, or directly involved in what happens to them. But he says that the individual members of each min, of each species, are not completely abandoned. El kol mashan is dakech ma'oso achomer ache kabot suras hagdila nitan bo koach hamishamro zman mesuyim. Anything which is necessary for any particular type of creation, for what it needs to sustain itself, something which grows, whatever it needs in order to grow, basically the basic characteristics that are common to every, let's call it, species. So that Hashem, you know, is involved in directing that every frog has, you know, the key elements of what's necessary to become a frog. Umashin is dakech mimenu yoser alkein acha kibel tzuras achush nitnu bo kochos achirim hashomrim notim oso. Anything which has, you know, senses, so let's say, you know, as opposed to just plants, animals, right? Anything which is supposed to have senses, so Hashem is make sure that what's necessary to make sure that this animal has, you know, all of the faculties that an animal has. Venitin lo yecholas acheres ala tnuah kidei sheyifne El Hamatim Lo, V'Yivrach Min HaNegdi Lo, and it's given the ability to of movement in order that I can move towards what it wants to move, what it's supposed to, what's good for it, and run away from that which is detrimental to it. Kein Nitan L'Kol Prat L'Fin Ma SheTzarech Lo Osu Amin. So every individual member of the species is given all of those things which are general and common to the entire species. And this gets back to that, which in the part that we skipped, the Aristotle basically says, and the way he understands Hashgacha, because of the way he understands God, is that God is only involved in things that don't change, only things that remain constant, and the nature of a species remains constant. So, you know, cows, there's a commonality to all cows, so the concept, so to speak, of what a cow is, so that remains constant. Cows are always going to be cows, and therefore it's not a philosophical problem in Aristotle's mind for God to be involved in making sure that cows are in setting up cows to be cows. Now, to set up that this particular cow is going to eat that particular piece of grass, or this particular cow is going to get sick, or is going to not get sick, whatever it is, that's something which is that's not something which is general to cows. Not all cows are going to get sick, and not all cows are going. So that's the specifics of what's going to happen. That Aristotle says is that's, you know, in Aristotle's mind, beyond the purview of God's hashgacha. But those things which are constant, those things which remain, which every species, every member of the species has it as just being a part of that species. It is a constant. So that Aristotle is comfortable with having hashgacha on. So we'll leave that for a minute, but that's basically how the Aristotle describes hashgacha and the way he applies it to different creations within, you know, on planet Earth. So the Rambam now goes into his own view. Aval dati ani biyosod hazeh klom hashgacha alokus. My view in the idea of God's providence is, he says, not like anything we've explained so far. It's something that my view is based on what I get from the Torah, which we'll see as we go through. He brings a number of, aside from the fact that he feels that it's logical, but he brings different scriptural support for what he's going to claim. But he says, "V'hu ani b'deya ki hashgacha Elokis eina b'olam hazeh shafel kolomer mitachas galgal hayareach ella be'ishe min ha'adam bilvad." Says the Rambam that I believe that God's hashgacha, God's providence in this world is only on man alone. The only creation in this creature in this world that has hashgacha is man. Aval sha'ar ba'alei achayim, but all other life forms, v'kol shekein hatzomeach v'zulaso, and kol shekein, how much more so, you know, plants and everything and all other things, harei hashgafasi bo kehashgafas aristo. My viewpoint on those things is like Aristotle's view. Any savor klal ki ha'ala hazeh nishar b'hashgacha bo. I do not believe that this leaf fell off of a tree because of God's hashgacha. God was mashgiach over that leaf and decided it was time for that specific leaf to fall off the tree. V'lo ha'achavish hazeh tarf as a zvuv hazeh b'gzeres Hashem v'cheftzo ata al prat zeh. And I do not believe that this spider caught and devoured this fly with Hashem's specific chayfetz, Hashem's specific desire that this spider should eat this fly, and Hashem's gzera that this fly should, that it was time for, you know, this fly to die, that this specific member of this species should have this happen to it right now. That I believe, like Aristotle, that the hashgacha over the rest of the life forms, the rest of existence, is that God is, so to speak, maintaining that there exists, because, you know, he created each species, he wants that species to exist, but that there's no specific involvement in each particular member of that species. Ela kol ze ladaiti al pi mikra mukhlat kamosha sovar aristo. I believe that all of these things are what we would call coincidence, like what Aristotle explained. Now, really? Now, before we go further, well, actually, maybe we'll finish the the chapter here, and what this is chapter 17 in third section of Mora Nevuchim. We'll finish the chapter, and we'll go back to explain exactly what that means. But so just a little bit further first. Ella hahashgacha elokis ladati kafisha nirli nispachas l'shefa eloki says that in my view, hashgacha is only related to shefa eloki, to a divine connection. And the species, the one creation which has this, which has a seichel and is able to have a divine, a connection to the divine, to the point where it becomes a sichli existence, an existence of that has an intellect, that has the ability to connect to God. That is the creation, that is the creature which has God's hashgacha. And therefore, all of his actions are dealt with according to schar and onish. All of his actions are dealt with in a measure of reward and punishment, of dealing with his actions in there in terms of if they were positive or negative. Va'asher haviani ledeazu, that which brought me to this is Lefisha lo matzasi klal lashon sefer navi shemazker sheish lo shemashgacha beish me ishe balei chayim zulasi beishe adam bilvad. Says if you look throughout all of Tanakh, you will not find any navi who ever refers to Hashem having hashgacha on any creation, any creature other than man. Ukvar nemru mikra, skipping to the next, the top of the next column. Ukvar nemru mikros mifurashim shahashgacha al kol ishe bnei adam. There are many verses which indicate that Hashem's hashgacha is over all of every individual member of mankind, v'shakol ma'aseh mivukarim, and that all of their actions are investigated, are looked into, as the verse says, "Hayotzer yachad liban hamevin el kol ma'asehim." The verse says, right, that Hashem created all of them, and he's maven al kol ma'aseh, he understands, he contemplates all of their actions. Just as a somewhat of a interesting side note, the Rambam the Rambam brings a couple of verses, three verses, to substantiate the tenth principle. This is not one of them. Ayotzer yachad liban hamevin el kol ma'aseh is not one of the verses he brings. However, in the Ani Mamins, which were not written by the Rambam, but which are meant to parallel the 13 principles of faith. So none of the Ikrim have any verses. None of the Ani Mamins bring a verse, with the exception of one. The 10th Ikr brings a verse, and that verse is this verse. So it's interesting, the Ani Mamin does not bring any of the verses that the Rambam brings, but instead brings this verse right here that the Rambam has in Mora Nevuchim, which the Rambam himself does not actually bring. There's a lot of discussion about why the Ani Mamin brought a verse at all, why the verse he brought is not one of the verses that the Rambam brought. There are some who are somewhat more dismissive of the Ani Mamin. The Ani Mamin was not written by the Rambam. We don't know who wrote it, and you know, we don't know why, what his goal was in writing it. But just as long as we're Mide Dabribo, as long as we're discussing it, that I saw one approach which said that all of the other Ikrim, all of the other Ani Mamins, so when we say that God doesn't have a body, so we mean body in the terms of how we think, what body means in human terms. When we say that God don't pray to intermediaries, we mean intermediaries as we think of intermediaries. We mean it on human terms. So the one, when we say schar v'onish, so we're talking about schar v'onish as we relate to schar v'onish, right? Even though olam haba is something which ayin lo rasa, but at least it's conceptually it's the same use of the term schar v'onish as what we think of. The one exception is when we talk about Hashem's yediyah, when we talk about Hashem's knowledge, the Rambam is explicit in several places that Hashem's knowledge and our knowledge are not the same. We don't mean the same thing when we talk about Hashem's knowledge and we talk about human knowledge. Hashem's knowledge is categorically different than our knowledge, and it's, so to speak, a borrowed term. The Rambam uses this phrase in a couple places. We saw one of them. The Rambam says this when we say Nevuah by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we say Nevuah by all other Nevi'im. So we use the same word because contextually each one makes sense within its context, but they're talking about two entirely different modes. The Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is qualitatively different than all other Nevi'im, and the Rambam said, I only use the word Nevuah by both of them because they don't really have a better word. But they're two. So the same thing that we use the word Yedia by Hashem and the word Yedia by us, because that's just the best term in each case, but they don't mean the same thing in each case. And therefore, in the 10th Ani Mamin, where he's just summing it up very briefly, he says, Ani Mamin, that Hashem is Yodea. So he has to add on a verse to tell you what is the Dea that we're talking about. What's the Yedia that we're talking about? Is this Yedia, that this Hashem's Yedia of Hayotzer Yachad Livon Amevina Kol Maaseim? It's an entire, it's a qualitatively different type of Yedia, which comes from comes from that He created them and therefore He knows them, right? Yotzer Yachad Libam, He created them, Amevina Kol Maaseim, and therefore He knows them, which is what the Rambam describes in chapter 21 of Mor Nevochim, that God's knowledge, our knowledge, always stems from experience. You saw who won the football game last night, and therefore you know that the Redskins clinched the playoffs. You like that? Eh? Right? But God doesn't know that the Redskins clinched the playoffs because it happened last night. The Redskins clinched the playoffs last night because God knew that they were going to clinch the playoffs last night. Right? So God's knowledge is it's an outcome of the fact that He is the Creator. Rabbi Zakim knows because David was nice enough to tell me. And I heard some people talking about it after Shachris. And I heard last night on the radio, before the game, that they were talking about that if the Redskins would win, that they would have clinched the playoffs. So I combined that with the people talking about how they won, put two and two together. My finely honed Talmudic mind realized that they had clinched the playoffs. But in any case, that God's knowledge, God's awareness, God's knowledge is not a result of what happened. It precedes what happened, and that's Hayotzer Yachad Libam. He created them, and therefore I'm even al kol maaseim, that the Ani Mamin is therefore emphasizing that God's knowledge is of a different nature than our knowledge, because it's important to know that when we use the term Yediyah, we're referring to a different sug, a different variety of Yediyah than the human usage of that term. Any question? I hope it's not about the Redskins, because that's all I know about the Redskins.
I don't understand what you were saying about the use of the verse in Ani Mamin versus Rambam.
Saying that
they're both using the verse, and it seems like you're saying they're both using it the same way.
The Rambam is, well, the Rambam here is more just using it to show that Hashem has hashgacha over everything. He's saying his point is Amivin El Kol Maasehem. Is that Hashem is overseeing all of mankind. He's not really getting into exactly what the nature of that hashgacha is. He definitely ties it into the fact that it's maaseihem mivukarim, that Hashem investigates what they're up to, and that's how they're related to hashgacha. But what I was pointing out before was the Rambam in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, in the introduction to Sanhedrin, brings three verses, none of which are this verse. As opposed to the Ani Mamin brings one verse, which is this verse. So the Ani Mamin, in his presentation of the 10th principle, brings a verse which the Rambam himself did not bring in his own in the introduction of Sanhedrin, where he says his own formulation of the 10th principle.
So, your previous point, where you're saying about the Rambam agrees with Aristotle that Hashem doesn't have hashkaka over animals. So,
yeah.
So like, how would you understand, let's say, the story with Bilam and the donkey?
Shouldn't we say that he doesn't?
Or the fact that the dogs didn't bark when Hashem and the Jews were leaving Egypt.
Right.
People say the dogs were praised because of, they go straight, they're rewarded.
Right. So, hold on a second.
Exercise his hashkaka.
Wait, hold on a second.
That he doesn't exercise it.
But so the dog one might be a little bit harder. We'll have to get back to that in a minute. But the Bilam one, so the Rambam discusses in Shmona Prakim that his understanding of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that the mouth of the donkey was one of the 10 things which was created Beinish Mashos, says that was not specific hashgacha on the donkey that he decided at that moment, but more that was set up from the beginning of creation, was so to speak set up that would happen. The dog thing, so it happens to be that We'll give a short. I don't know if this is going to be completely satisfactory.
What about Yonah and the fish?
The real issue with the Rambam is not whether or not animals do things that they don't normally do. Just like oceans can do things, seas can do things, and seas don't normally split. What hashgacha means, and we'll get back to this in a minute. But hashgacha, according to the Rambam, does not just mean that God does things with that, you know, object. I mean, that God makes the sea split doesn't mean he has hashgacha over the sea. It means he has hashgacha over Klal Yisrael, that they need the sea to split, right? So the fact that, you know, that there was a whale that came along, or whatever kind of fish it was that came along and swallowed Yonah, does not mean that God has hashgacha over the whale. It means that he has hashgacha over Yonah, that he made a whale come and eat Yonah. Like, obviously God has control over everything. The question is, does he have hashgacha? Does he have planned, you know, what needs to happen to this object, to this existence? Is that part of hashgacha? But with the dogs, the reason the dogs is a good question is because the Gemara implies that there was a schar v'onesh for them, that they were rewarded for not barking. The fact that they didn't bark, so that wouldn't be such a big deal. God can make them not bark. That wouldn't be a violation of this whole thing. But David's question is a really strong question because Chazal say that they were rewarded for not barking. So the partial answer that I'm going to give you is that God didn't reward those specific dogs. He rewarded dog kind, right? As a whole, right? Which he said that the lakelev tashlichun oso, which is where Chazal say that they were rewarded, that when you have a nevela, the Torah says you should cast it to the dogs as a reward for the not barking. They don't say it's not to find the dogs that didn't bark in Mitzrayim and award them, but it's something about the species of dog as a whole, which is not as much in violation of the Rambam's principle, which is that anything which is shavel l'chol hamin, anything which is equally distributed over the entire species, such that God is not responding and saying that dog needs to be treated nicely, or that dog deserves, you know, to be different than all the other dogs, whatever it is. So that's not really exactly a violation. That's a partial answer. But fine. But so that's the Rambam says that it's on every member of mankind on an individual basis you have hashgacha.
And all the time.
And all the time, right? Now we discussed last week how the Rambam has a sliding scale of to what extent that hashgacha impacts a person, that God can, you know, part of God's hashgacha over a person can be that he deserves to be left up to coincidence. That was what we saw at the very end last week, the Medrash that says when Klal Yisrael, when they said, you know, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin, where is God, right? So then God left them up to circumstance. That was, it wasn't, the hashgacha on them was to be left up to circumstance. So man can be left up to circumstance, but not because God isn't watching what he's doing, but because God, as a result of what he's doing, makes a din on him that he deserves to be left up to circumstance. But every person, every member of mankind has that hashgacha on him. V'kfar nemar bet nemra b'torah hashgacha b'ishe adam u'bikoros ma'aseyim. It's mentioned in the Torah. Amar u'bayom pakti u'bakalti aleim chatasam. On the day when I make an accounting, I will take an accounting for their sins. So you see clearly that God is keeping track of what they're doing. Aval shar ishe bale hachayim hariyamatzav behem kafisha sova aristo beli safik. But by everyone else, it's like what Aristotle says. Ulafikach nasis shchitasam mutaris va'af mitzuv malei. He says that's the reason why you're allowed to shecht an animal, and why we're even a mitzvah of shchita. Because if different animals deserved different things, so how can you just have a blanket rule to go shecht any animal? Maybe that animal doesn't deserve to die. V'haraya sheshar balei chayim bilti mushgachim ki im ba'ofen hashgacha asher hizker aristo. The fact that every other species, every other creation only has that type of hashgacha that Aristotle said of in a very broad, sweeping sense. Masha amar anavi kasher ra'a mehishtaltus Nebuchadnezzar v'rigatzu b'nei adam. When the Navi saw how Nebuchadnezzar was, you know, wantonly destroying and killing people, so his analogy was, amar Hashem hine ke'ilu kvar huznechu b'nei adam. Man, it's as if man has been abandoned. V'hufkaru kidagim v'remes aris, like fish and like the creepy crawly things on the ground. What the paradigm example of something which was huznach, which was abandoned and left afloat, was fish and creepy crawly things. That was the paradigm example of something that has no hashgacha on it. And the Rambam brings more examples, but he basically says you see throughout Tanakh that you never find an example in Tanakh where animals have hashgacha on them, and you find places in Tanakh where the example of something not having hashgacha on it is animals. The Rambam has in the column here that I'm going to skip has a couple of counterexamples which he then explains. He says that there's a Gemara where Rebbe saw a certain sheep that was being led to the Mizbeach to be shechted, and it started running away, and it ran over to Rebbe, and Rebbe said to the sheep that go back to the person who's bringing you, Kila Kach no Tzarta, that's what you were created for this. And Rebbe was punished for that. Rebbe suffered through that until a certain thing happened that he did tshuva for it. But we're not to get into the whole story, but so the Rambam says, so don't you see from the fact that, you know, Rebbe is like, you know, being inconsiderate to this animal, you know, as if the animal has feelings of this, you know, this. So don't you see that there's hashgacha on the animals? You can't just say you're just here to go be shechted. So the Rambam says, no, that had nothing to do with the animal. That had to do with Rebbe. That was a problem of Rebbe's insensitivity. And says the Rambam, that's the pshat in Tzar Baal Echaim. Tzar Baal Echaim is not because the animal doesn't deserve to be treated meanly. It's because you need to learn to not be cruel. Because from your perspective, you see the animal suffering. Even if the suffering of the animal, there is no hashgacha on the animal, and it doesn't really matter if this particular animal dies or not. But you, for yourself, need to be kind to the animal because you need to train yourself not to be cruel. The Rambam has a couple of counterexamples that he counters with that idea. But so the Rambam, just in a caveat at the end, he says, "V'havein hashgafas yad sofa." Make sure you understand the entirety of what I'm saying. Ki eini sover shehu yisala nelam yimenu davar. Because I am not saying that God is, that there's anything which God is not aware of, that there's anything which is beyond God's awareness or capability. But the Rambam is saying that the idea of hashgacha is to make a din on this particular creature, on this particular existence, this particular dog or this particular cat, that hashgacha means to make a din, to make a judgment. What does this form, what does this existence deserve? That only makes sense by man. Man has the ability through his seichel, being an entity that is sichli, that has an intellect, that has free will, to be, each person is unique in their relationship to God from the other one, and therefore there's specific hashgach on each person. What does that person deserve? As opposed to a dog, every dog is the same as every other dog in its relationship to God. The only thing that a dog has is what every other dog has, and therefore the hashgacha on dogs is going to be one general hashgacha on all of dog kind, because there's no reason that this dog needs to be differentiated from that dog. But man, this man needs to be differentiated from that man, and that man has a din on him. That fly did not have a din. Do you deserve to be caught by the spider? There might be that God has a greater plan in which this spider needs to, however it's going to work out, to maintaining the ecosystem in such a way that this fisherman catches the amount of fish that he deserves, or that this nation ends up having a famine. Whatever needs to be for the world as a whole, for the hashgacha that God certainly has over each individual, each thing is going to be calculated. But not because God decided this fly deserves to die. Why does this fly deserve to die? What did he do that he didn't do enough mitzvos? Flies don't have mitzvos. Flies don't have a way to be closer or further from God. So there's no reason this fly is going to have a din on it that says, you fly, you deserve to die. The only thing that they have is this much more general hashgacha of that flies are going to remain flies, and God will make sure that every fly exists as a fly. But the fact that it's going to have a specific din, a specific gzeira, decree, what's supposed to happen to this fly, that there's no such thing, says the Rambam.
So in the Kedah Kids thought there was no special din for the ram.
Right. Fine, so one last point. So this very much, just to fill out what we were just mentioning, and after this we'll just see one last thing, one point in Derech Hashem from the Ramchal. But we saw this, I think, last week, but just to revisit this really finishes what we're saying, that the Rambam's idea of Hashgacha is that Hashgacha is according to where you are. The reason you need Hashgacha Pratis is because there are Pratim. If there are individuals, then you need individual hashgacha. If there are no individuals, then you don't need individual hashgacha. You don't need, there's no individual sheep, there's just sheep. There's nothing that differentiates one sheep from the next, so there's no need for individual...
Have you ever owned a sheep?
What? Some of my best friends were sheep. All right, so the Rambam says, Kfar noda ki ein chutz l'machshava min matzo. He says, there, aside from in your mind, in thought, conceptually, there is no such thing as... the idea of a species only exists conceptually. Ela hamin v'shara kolos in yonim machshavatim k'visha yadata v'kol matzo min chutz l'machshava. Anything that exists outside of the group that you might put it into in your mind, enu ela ish o ishim, only exists as individuals. V'kasher noda zeh, so once we have that, hare noda ki yashef elokia matzoi tzamud b'mina adam, that godly connection which is bestowed to every man, kolomar secha anoshi, which is what the Rambam says is man's intellect, is that connection to God. It exists on an individual basis. There's no such thing as the mankind exists. The idea of a species of man which has, you know, this connection to God, that exists conceptually, but on an in reality, there's no such physical thing as one thing called mankind. That's a concept. But in actual existence, it's a number of individuals who we might group together into one concept. But in practice, in their actual existence, they're all one thing. And therefore, the Rambam says, and therefore each of them has his own, each one has his own seichel. There's no general seichel Eloki. Reuven has his seichel, and Shimon has his seichel, and Yehuda has his seichel. Ulafia Ionazeh, down to the next paragraph, and so. After we understand this, mischayv behechlet shetehei hashgachas yisala b'neviim gedola yoser ukfi ma'aloseim b'nevuah. Therefore, hashgacha over neviim, hashgacha over prophets, is going to be to a greater extent than the hashgacha over others. V'tiyu hashgachasu b'chasidim v'tzikim k'vi chasidusam v'tzidkasam. And as the hashgacha over chasidim and over tzadikim, over the righteous, is going to be according to their righteousness. Aval hasichlim harishayim hare kafi masha ne'adar lahem me'osa shefa yered ma'amadam v'nichlalu ma'arachas shar ishe mine ba'alechayim. But the rishayim, those who are completely wicked, according to the extent that they have cut themselves off from that sichli connection to God, they're going to be lowered from their standing point to the point where they're going to be like an animal. Nimshul kebehemos ninmu. The Rambam quotes the verse that the Rishayim, they're comparable to animals. He says they're comparable to animals in that animals, God leaves them up to circumstance because he doesn't have, there's no reason to differentiate between them. A man, a person who cuts himself off from that connection to God, his din, God judges him to be left up to the circumstance, just like the animal is. The inyan zehu yesod mi yesodus haTorah ba'alav hi benuya kolomar al shehashgacha beish ish meisha adam kafisha megielo. That hashgacha is dealt out to each person according to what he deserves, and that is the idea of hashgacha according to the Rambam, is that you get what you deserve. And hashgacha on man really is the same as hashgacha on animals, except that by animals, there is hashgacha on animals according to what each one deserves, except that there is no each one. So there is no what this one needs, because they're no different in terms of where they're holding in their relationship to God. Each dog was created the way it was, and it remains the same. But man, each man is according to what he deserves. There is an individual. What does this one deserve according to his actions? What does this one deserve according to his actions? There's one last thing I want to see here, which is basically we have this idea expressed very succinctly by the Ramchal. In Derech Hashem, this is the very beginning of Chelek Beis of Derech Hashem. The Ramchal writes, Yadua umavarhu, it is well known and understood, Shakol hanivraim kulam shenivru, bein ha'elyonim ubein ha'tachtonim, everything that was created, the loftiest, the celestial beings, the earthly creations, hinei nivru lefisha ras abem ha'chachma elyon ha'tzorach b'to'eles, that they were created in God seeing some need and purpose for them, lamashahu ha'tachlis ha'klali shel ha'briya, in the greater purpose of creation. right? Different approaches in the Rishonim about, you know, what exactly that greater purpose is. But obviously, if God created something, he did created it because it somehow fit into his big plan. V'kol chukoseim u'mishpateim hativiim huchku v'hutbu kifi masha gazra chachma al yona heyoso knows. And all of them were established and set into the way that they are, according to what that divine wisdom saw is appropriate for its the purpose of its creation. Lefi hakavana shekivna v'nivrahu, according to whatever the intent of that specific creation was. V'ulam me'osu atam atmo shenivru, for the same reason that it was created originally. Roi gam kin sheyiskaimu kol zman hayos bam toelas leklal bria kamo shezacharnu. So there, it's for the same reason it was created, it's appropriate that it continues to exist. It's maintained as long as it serves a purpose. Va'al kein ha'adon baruch hu shabara kol nivraim ha'eila. So God, who created all of these creations, lo yimona gam kein milashkiach aleihem. God is going to be mashkiach over them. He's going to have hashgach on them. Lekayimam ba'oso matzav shiroto osam bo, in order to keep them in their way that he wants them to exist, in order to maintain that they exist in the way that he wants them to exist. He created it with a purpose. And therefore, for example, the moon was created with an orbit around the earth, and there's some reason for the moon to be that distance from the earth and that speed of rotation and all of the, whatever it is. So God maintains that the moon continues to be that way because there was a reason he made it that way, and that reason is no different from the point he created it until now. And therefore, God is going to maintain, as a part of his hashgacha over the greater purpose for existence, that the moon continues to be that way. Now up to Os Gimel, says the Ramchal. The Omnam, however, Beheyos shenishtane hamina enoshi mikol shar minim, being that man is different than all other creations. How? Shenitna lo habechira v'heyacholes b'mashu lo k'niyas shleimus ochisayon. He was given free will, and he is given the ability to acquire for himself perfection or deficiency. V'nimtza b'bechina zu poel umenia. And in that way, he is a poel umenia. He is an actor. He is a mover. V'lo nithal. He is not acted upon. He is not a creature which is merely affected by others, but he is a being which affects other things. Gam hashgacha alav. So that being the case, also the hashgacha that man has, mochrach shetishtana me'ashgacha al shar aminim. It is obvious, it is necessary that the hashgacha that he has is going to be different from the hashgacha on all other creations. Hine yitztarich lashkiach ulahashkif al prate masav, that God is going to need to be paying attention to and understanding, appreciating all of the details of his actions, lahamtzi lo kidrachav ukrima alav, in order to present to him according to his actions, according to his approaches, according to what he does, and the fruits of his acts. V'nimtza sheyushkachu ma'asav kulam v'toldoseihem. So all of his actions are going to be bahashka, are going to be watched over and taken into consideration, and everything that results from his actions. V'yashu v'yushkach alav kefi aroi l'toldos ha'ma'asim ha'im. And then he will be responded to accordingly in what is appropriate according to his actions. Bifrat umida k'neged mida. As an individual, and mida k'neged mida in response to what he does. So the Ramchal very neatly expresses this idea in a very, very succinct way, that there is hashgacha over everything, in terms of that there's a reason for its existence, and it exists in an exact way which is meant to fulfill the purpose of creation. And everything has hashgacha in that way, and God is in charge and overseeing everything, that it should exist in such a way that it fulfills the role that it has in having been created in the first place. But man has a particular element to his hashgacha, which is a result of the fact that he has free will, is that God is mashgiach over him, meaning he sees what were his actions, what does he deserve, and how do I respond to him, mida k'neged mida, how should my hashgacha be over him according to what he has made himself. Every man has made himself different than every other man, because every man has a different set of circumstances that they've gone through and acts that they've done, and every person has put themselves in a unique place in their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, every person has to have a hashgacha which is appropriate to where they have put themselves. Every other creation it exists the same way it existed from the beginning, and therefore the hashgacha that it has, there's no need for individual hashgacha over it, because it exists the way it existed always and will continue to be that way and serves its purpose with that same hashgacha that it started with, mitchilas b'riyaso, from the beginning of its being created. But man changes day by day and moment by moment according to how he carries himself and how he interacts, how he relates to the world and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he uniquely will have hashgacha pratis, because he's the only one where there are pratim. He's the only one where there are individual members of his species. There's by every other species, there is no such thing as individuality. Every cow is the same as every other cow. No cow has made itself loftier or less lofty, and therefore all of them will have the same. It's hashgacha pratis, but just. There is no hashgacha pratis, because all of the pratim end up being one uniform species, and therefore there's no such thing as hashgacha or that. That's the view of the Rambam, which is not so. When it's read somewhat superficially, seems very drastic, that God, you know, just doesn't pay attention to what goes on in the world, and he only cares about man, and everything else is circumstance. That's not what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying the same thing that the Ramchal is saying, that God, of course, knows everything that's going on in the world, and God, of course, is in charge of everything that goes on in the world. But on an individual basis, where does he decide, are you getting what you deserve? The only entity, the only creation which has a deserve, and a need to decide, are you getting what you deserve, is mankind, because they're the only ones, lo mishpat ha-bechira, they're the only ones who have free will, and therefore they're the only ones who have a distinction between one to the next of what do they deserve. And that's the idea of hashgacha, is how do I deal with you according to where you specifically are holding. All right, we'll hold here.
So how do you understand the Z?